Hey, listener, Underdog Fantasy is the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, the fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. You can play Pick'em, pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower total in each stat for this week's games for a chance to win big. You can actually win up to 100 times your money in a single night. That's right. I didn't say 10. I didn't say 20. Up to 100 times your money. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. My favorite feature, you can make rivals picks. Pit 2 players against each other. Wembanyama versus Nikola Jokic. Tim Hardaway Jr. versus Norm Powell. Kawhi Leonard versus Steph Curry. Who knows? Maybe Grayson Allen versus Pat Connaughton. You get where I'm going with that. You can do it all with Underdog Fantasy. Make sure you sign up today with the promo code DING. That's D-I-N-G. And get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the app store. And don't forget to register with our promo code DING, D-I-N-G, to get your first deposit doubled up to $100 as well as an instant pick'em special. Must be 18 or older and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play? Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit www.ncpgambling.org.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Yo, welcome back to Las Vegas, ho. It's the Crazy Sexy Cool Podcast. I'm Bethany, joined by Meek today. It's just a duo holding it down. You know, sometimes we gotta just handle it this way when our third girl, Elizabeth, is off being the busy bad bitch that she is. So
booked and busy.
Booked and busy. You know, mama gotta go out there and make that money. So, hey. But yeah, I feel like it's been a minute since we were able to sit down and record a new live episode. Because, look, life is happening. Niggas is busy. Holidays come around. People got to work. Like, we be having stuff to do. But we here. Real quick, I have a question.
Question?
Being that you are a Sagittarius, just like me, when it comes to space in relationships and friendships, where do you stand? Because I feel like we've talked about where I stand, but I don't think I'm clear really, like how you are as a friend and how you are in relationships. How are you when it comes to having space?
Space is very important. But you know what's so crazy though is that like that I just, it's gonna sound cliche, you have to give me space so I can miss you. Like, you know, in the beginning of a situation, like a relationship, yeah, I want to know everything about you. So, yeah, I'm going to probably be talking to you a lot. But then when you get to that, like, 3-month situation where now it just turns into a routine where it's like you take your lunch at 12, so we talk at 12, even if I don't got shit to say. I don't really like that. I don't like that shit. And I'll purposely not pick up the phone. Like,
you like to shake things up a little bit.
Hell yeah. Where were you?
Yeah.
I was busy. And see, people be like, when you in a relationship, you can't do shit like that. Like, what the fuck you mean I can't do shit like that? Like, the hell?
Okay, what about your friends? Are you like that with your girls too?
It's all about, it has to be organic. So, like, if we spend time together, like, I just want us to really, like, want to spend time together. I don't like it when my friends are possessive over me. Ooh. You know, like, I don't like that. I don't do well with that.
I don't think I've ever experienced that.
I definitely have.
Really? Like, in what way? Like, I don't get it.
Like, possessive where, like, friends get jealous because I'm hanging with, you know,
another friend
or a different crowd, or, like, Like, I have friends that feel like they should know any and everything about me. And I'm forever evolving, so I don't even know any and everything about myself. So how would you know that? How would you... You know, I wake up like, damn, bitch. Like, hey.
Well, you know? Look.
But...
Like, I get it. I can understand, like, there are some people who feel... But I think that's a lot of, like, maybe, like, trauma that's kind of been unresolved, really hasn't been worked through. I feel like some people may have, like, a sense of... they may feel some sense of abandonment when they feel a bit of detachment happening. And it couldn't even be that. Like, your friend might just, like, have things going on in their life and they feel like... Like, some people will take it personally. Like, oh, she... Well, did I do something wrong? Or is she, you know... Is there another friend that's, like, taking my place? And that's just a really weird kind of, like, possessive type thing.
It is weird. And, but what I found to really be a really good friend, to really be a good... Because I've been a bad friend. And I'm not afraid to admit that. Like, okay. I've been a bad friend in certain situations where, like, I wasn't attentive. I was, like, insensitive or straight up bitch or, like... No, and I know, and I had to check myself on that. But it's about one of those things of, like, checking in with myself. And I'm like, you know what? But I do it with my son, too, where I'm like, I got to recharge. I got to, like, you know, seclude myself and get me right. Then come back out. So then that way I can be a good friend to you. You know, right. You might be going through something, but I can't really be here, you know. Unless I'm 100%, you know?
Yeah.
And something I just started practicing is, like, checking in with my friends, like, look, girl, I got something I want to vent off, but can you handle it? And not on some, like, are you weak or tough, but, like, where's your cup at right now? Because if you going through something, my shit can wait. Or,
it's almost,
you know what I mean?
Like,
I can figure
almost,
a different way.
It's almost like consent. Like, yes. Hey, I got some stuff
a
to
consent,
steal.
Consent to dump. Because some people don't do that. And that's what makes you feel some type of way. Like, a consent to dump. Like, and I'm like, yo, like, and so, like, I know that what I'm about to share is about to be heavy. I'm like, hey, where we at? Because can I go there?
Yeah.
Because if I can't, then no. But that's the reason why space is important, because it allows me to really get my thoughts together. I found that me taking space has improved my communication skills. Instead of me just being irrational and just being, like, reactory off of, like, pure emotion, I can sit with things. And now that I take time out to sit with things, when I'm actually in the fire or something, I can react, because I've already, you know, I've been in tune with myself. I've already checked in with myself. So when we're in the fire, when me, myself, and I are in the fire, I could be like, no, this is exactly how I feel, because I know. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
So space is important. Yeah.
So the reason I was asking, Miss JT from City Girls, she posted on her Instagram story. I'm going to read this. It's not long, but, you know, it's a little. She says.
Winded.
Yeah, it's a little winded. She says, overcrowding anyone's space is selfish. Let people get their minds right before they silently grow to hate you. Side note, a lot of people tolerate people because they don't want to hurt their feelings, but energy, actions, and body language are louder than words, no matter how bad it hurt. Let people freely be who they are and don't force anything. That goes for family, friends, coworkers, relationships, etc. My thing is, she's a Sagittarius, and we are known for needing our space. We don't like to feel controlled, overcrowded.
Restricted.
We feel a bit claustrophobic, and we need our space to breathe. And like you said, when it comes to romantic relationships, I like to be able to miss my partner. I need the space to be like, oh my God, I just can't wait to see him. Or, you know what I mean? Like,
oh my God, I can't wait for his dick to be in my mouth.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So,
because, like, without space, like the sex can get real
routine.
You know what I'm
saying? Look.
Can you feel me now?
Look. Can you feel me?
How about now? How about now?
Like, I feel like it's a good thing, but I always wonder what it is. Like I was saying, like sometimes some people may have like abandonment issues, but I feel like to give a partner space, it takes a certain amount of trust. Oof, you have to trust your partner that they're not leaving you because they don't like you or they don't love you or whatever. It's like, no, you need to allow people to regroup. What I like to say is like, I need a moment to recharge. I need like my battery is like on red. It's blinking. My shit is about to shut down. I need a moment to recharge, and my recharge may be different from the next person's recharge. But the way that I like to recharge, I like to do my hair. Right now, for those who are subscribed to Patreon, they can see that my hair is now blue. 'Cause it was red, like a pinkish red color. Now it's blue because I like the way that my undertones look with the blue. Yeah, like blue. It's different. Yeah. I'm not saying I didn't like the pinkish red. It was a lot. But this looks better, I feel like, with my skin tone and all that. Mm-hmm. But I decided to braid my hair, recharge. I watched Run the World on Stars, which is, I think, is a dope show. Have you seen it?
I got to catch up. No, I've been watching it, but, like, you know, these past couple weeks have been like a whirlwind.
I binged every single episode in one night. I was like, I love this show. But that's how I recharge. Like, I got a drink. I'm doing my hair. I'm just, like, having some me time. And some people, their me time, they want to take a bubble bath and go to a spa or sleep. Now, I like to do that.
Sleep?
Y'all know I like to sleep.
Oh, my God. I love to daydream. Daydream is like one of my favorite things to do.
Oh, my God.
It gets me in so much trouble sometimes, but like I just love daydreaming.
Yo. Okay, so for me, when I'm daydreaming, I'm in bed and I just get into this like deep thought.
Yeah,
it could be about anything. It could be about like goals. It could be about a person, like my partner. Yeah. Like I daydream about him sometimes, and like what we could be doing if he was here, or that might lead to something, you know, a little bit more self intimate.
Hello, vibrator.
But like, I catch myself daydreaming when I need to get up and get shit done,
do shit done, and
But that's
what
also,
I mean by it gets me in trouble. I can be in my room all day and just daydream. And then it turns into visuals, and then I fall asleep in it. And then high key, I'm a lucid dreamer. So then I just be in there just playing. Exactly. I just be playing in that bitch like in my own little playground. I love it. But you were saying things about trauma, but I think, and this is something I noticed about myself, codependency issues. Due to neglect and abandonment. So I noticed that,
where
like,
is
I don't
my pen? Let me write this down.
So, like, I'm not one that's like codependent with all my relationships. What I realize is that I'll have that key person. And for the longest, it's been my sister. Because when I was going through trauma, because she's been there through my childhood trauma, she went there through my trauma with, you know, with the birth of Elijah. And so she's always been my rock. So I realized that like it was one point like some years back that she left, and I felt like anxiety, like where's my sister, like kind of thing. And it's like a codependency where I'm like I needed to have access to her, you know. And that's when I realized like, yo, like
what. I have a question. In that moment, did you try to fill her absence with anything or somebody, or like, was there a way that you kind of cope with that? That's really interesting that you brought that up.
So I also at one point had a codependency with Elijah too. So like, you know, being a mom, like, because you have someone other than yourself to think for, it gives you that like, well, I gotta get up. I gotta do this. Did it, you know, it gives me that reason why. And like Eli would go and visit like his other family, and now I no longer have that reason why. And so I realized I had codependency there too. And in the beginning, I did try to fill it with other things. I like try to go out and stuff like that, but it never really hit. Like it didn't really hit. And I'm trying to think if I had codependency with an actual like male relationship. But I want to say no. And I think it's just because like codependency involves trust. And in a lot of those situations, I never allow that much vulnerability and that much trust for me to like be codependent with a man. So I see it with more like my friendships or my like my friendship sisterhoodship with my sister, where like when I, you know, she's, you know, now she's venturing off and doing her own thing, where like I had to start being comfortable with like, okay, Meek, it's just us. Like, you can call her, like, you're gonna be okay, but like it's just us. Codependency is another one as to why people can't have that much space, where like you got, it's kind of like, you know, having a child, when your child is, when you and your child are out in public and you being that point of contact for your child, where they say like your child is always comfortable playing as long as they can see you.
They can see you. Like,
they can always be like, they'll be over on the screen, but they know, they'll look back and be like, oh, mom's right there. That's what she was for me. So it was like, it's not like she had to be with me in every single thing, but it's like, as long as I knew, like, I'm going to see her, I'm going to be talking to her. But once she got into a relationship, that started to like, and it's like, I can't be up here like, sissy, why don't you talk to, you know what I mean? And I actually talked to her about it. I was like, I realized like, we talk about everything.
But a lot of people aren't self-aware to even know that this is how they feel. You know what I mean? To even like have a conversation about it. This is also interesting.
Yeah. But see, also like when I was younger, I changed schools, switched schools every year. And I was always constantly making new friends. I also, my mom, like, you know, would like ship me off to my grandma. So I also had that, like, that, you know, that dealing with that anxiety of like, am I going to see her again? And like all that, I've always dealt with stuff like that. Mm. And, but through that, I think that's the reason why I'm so social at times. But I also think that that's the reason why I also shut down at times too. So like, I don't know. I do know that I do have that. Like, but me being cognizant of it, I start trying to deal with the different ways and start just getting comfortable with just being by myself sometimes. Like, I can be by myself, but like my sister was always my point of contact. But now it's just like, just solely me. Like,
by myself. Are you comfortable
with being by myself?
Yeah,
I actually am. Like, I actually am. And also the crazy thing is like, I was codependent on it, but my sister has this thing where she has like hero syndrome. I probably just made that up, but like,
she comes in to save the day.
But it does something for her. And what I noticed in her relationships is that everyone that's like in her circle, that's like a close-knit circle, her boyfriend, like everyone in the family, they look to her that way, where like as their support, their rock. You know, and some might not sound that bad, but it does become bad because it's not always reciprocated. And sometimes you don't realize when someone assumes that position, you know what I mean? Like, you don't stop and think like, wait, time out. How is she feeling? Or, you know what I mean? And that's why I tell her, I'm like, cause she's had conversations with me where she's like, I feel like I'm being taken advantage of. I said, but yet you realize that you always set your relationships up this way where you're the hero. Not like on some, like, I need you to praise me. Not on that, but on some, I'm here for you. Whatever you need, whatever, whether you talking to me, whether it's spending money, whether it's just being there, like, call me. Like, she just allows herself to be, like, available in that matter. But she doesn't demand people to show up for her, you know, the same. And so I was telling her that. I was like, even your dog, low-key, is, like, codependent on you. You know, like, he goes crazy if she's not around. And I'm like, yo, like, you, so, like, what it is for me is a complete opposite. So that's the reason why it kind of, like, bounces off of each other. You know what I mean? And so, I noticed that, too. So,
you know, I'm starting to wonder, like, so my mom, she lived with me for 3 years. And then she recently moved back to North Carolina. And I'm trying to figure out if there was some sort of codependency here, having her here to help me, you know, with my son. Because once she left, my whole like routine changed. Of course, I mean, it has to change because now, you know, it's just me and my son and I'm taking care of everything. Yeah. But at the same time, I like really relied on her. And she was the one person that I really trusted 100% fully with my child. So now I went from having someone at home that I trust with my child while I went and worked and did what I needed to do to it being me and Prince, where to the point where I wasn't comfortable letting Prince out of my sight.
Right.
And
and that's it's the same way with me. And like Sade is Elijah's second mom, you know? Mm-hmm. So it'll be stuff like, and when you got them, you just doing things like, and not even really like subconsciously like doing stuff.
You're an autopilot in a way.
Like an autopilot where I'd be like me and my sister used to be roommates. I'd be like, yo, I'm going here. Like, or I'll just plan an appointment. And because I just know she's cool with it, you know what I mean? Instead of actually being like, hey, what are you doing? How are you doing? You know what I mean? Kind of thing. And she's just cool with it. She never complained about it. I would let her know, but also I would do shit like just make an appointment or like, oh, I'm doing this. Or if I'm planning something for Eli, it was times where I just knew that she had my back too. So like I could just move freely. But when you don't have that, you move completely different.
So different.
And it's like,
it's not fair.
For people that we love to place those type of, because we're subconsciously placing certain levels of expectation on those people to show up for us.
So what do you feel like what JT is saying in the first half of that? She says, overcrowding anyone's space is selfish. Let people get their minds right before they silently grow to hate you. I think about my mom moving and thinking maybe she was a bit exhausted and never got a chance to really like, tell me this, or she felt like telling me that would make me feel some kind of way. Sorry, I'm just like having a whole like breakthrough moment personally.
Yeah.
But I felt like now looking back, because today my mom, you know, she's here, and earlier today I left to go get something to eat and I didn't tell her I was leaving. She called like, where you at? And I was like, damn, B, like you should have told her like, hey, I'm about to run out real quick, instead of just assuming like, oh,
yeah,
I'm just gonna get something to come right back. Like, no, this is my mother. She still, you know, needs to at least get a heads up that, you know.
Yeah.
Because
it's not even
out.
A thing of like her being there. Sometimes, like watching a child can be very exhausting. Like I might not be in the headspace to do that right now. Yeah. Yes, that's my great grandbaby, and yeah, I love him dearly, but that's not where I'm at right now. You know.
Yeah.
And the thing with my sister is that my sister's a Gemini. So I always give her space.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you wake up with Gemini, you be like, all right, go ahead, start over. Like, go try to start that over. You know, so I give her space or whatnot. But it'll be times where she be like, Meek, no. Like, she'll tell me, like, straight up. And I think that's also another reason why I trust her, is because she's not a pushover. She will let me know, or she'll be like, yo, you tripping right now. Like, nah, we ain't doing that. And like, you know, like whatever. But I also had to like work with her in many ways, coach her and tell her like, you need to start saying no. You know what I'm saying? Oh. Even if it's me or whoever, like you need to just like, it doesn't matter if you got it or not. It doesn't matter if you got the time or not. You need to start saying no. You need to start having full agency over yourself, your well-being, and you need to start saying no. But also her and I kind of pull from each other, because I need to start doing more for others. Because me, I was always the one that's willing, like, I'm going to take my time. My family know that. Like, oh, yeah. Some me going to do is going to take her time. But I need to start taking time for others and being there for others and showing up for others. And that's what I like learned from her. And so she learned, you know, the whole saying no for me.
Well, going back to like having space, if you were in a situation where like you're in a relationship and your partner requires a lot of your time and doesn't really believe in like space, how would you deal with that?
If we really rock into it, I'm gonna voice it. I'm like, look, like, yeah, and like I said before, I started putting my phone on Do Not Disturb. And that caused a rift. And I was like, it has nothing to do with you. I'm not doing nothing sneaky. Like, if I see your text or your phone call and say I am up and doing something, I'm going to call you back. But more than likely, I'm asleep. And the main reason why I started doing it is because, like, my son, like, I realized, like, you know, we have routines for our babies where it's like, I have to, I literally schedule time where I'm like, Meek, put your phone down and be like present. Interactive yeah. with and present with Eli. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's even more important to do that before bed. And I don't know why, I haven't really bottled why, but like, I didn't like the whole routine of like me being on the phone, like, yeah, go ahead, go put your pajamas on, go. I didn't like that. Like, I'm like with resting, it's more like getting the body down, you know, where we get to a resting, breathing level. And that way, when you go to sleep, you can really have a peaceful sleep. Like, when the house is chaotic and I'm doing this and I'm telling you to go later, like, you're not really, like, coming down like that. Right. But I had to start putting my phone on Do Not Disturb because people would just call. People, everyone know I'm single. So, people, like, that whole, like, you know, oh, like, she might have a man. Like, nobody's worried about any of that. Like, I get phone calls all types, all times. And I'm like, okay, I can't be doing this because I'm over here trying to read Eli a book and I'm getting a phone call and I send it straight to Sin, but for some reason people think that if you get straight you gotta call again and keep calling. I'm like, no, there's a reason why I'm doing that, you know. But when I tried to explain that to him, he took it personal, and now I feel like that's between you and your savior.
Hello, listener. Have you ever used ButcherBox? I don't know if you know this about me, but I used to be a butcher. I used to work at an unnamed grocery store. I used to be that tall man behind the counter in your neighborhood, cutting up meat and preparing seafood for you. And I know that it can be a stressful situation. I know that it can be crowded. You have to wait your turn. You have to know what you want. You feel rushed. Sometimes you might think that your butcher has a bad attitude. I don't know. Happened to a friend. Couldn't possibly be me. But that's why I love ButcherBox. ButcherBox brings you peace of mind. You can easily find high quality beef, chicken, pork that you can trust is humanely raised. There's no antibiotics or added hormones. There's the ultimate convenience of not having to deal with butchers or the crowded meat counter after a long day at work. It's delivered right to your doorstep. There's always free shipping and there's incredible value. You're getting really high quality products at an amazing value. You get exclusive member deals. You get recipe inspiration, guides, hacks. A little hack from my butcher experience, the petite top sirloin, which is about half the price of the New York steak, is a very similar cut with a fat cap on one side, and you get very good tenderness out of the petite sirloin. If you've ever been to a Brazilian steakhouse and you see them talking about picanha, that's the petite sirloin. With ButcherBox, I'm always prepared. I always have meat on deck for a grill and chill, a cookout, or just making dinner at home. And I'm saving a ton of money from shopping at the grocery store all the time. Now, I know what you're thinking. That's great, but what's my reward for signing up for ButcherBox? Well, I'm glad you asked, because if you sign up at butcherbox.com/dings and use code DINGS, D-I-N-G-S, you will get free ground beef for life. For life. Enough ground beef to fill the Nile, plus $20 off your first box. That's butcherbox.com/dings.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here from Cinephobe. Yeah, that podcast. It's a good one. Ascertain. Telling you right now, Prize Picks, that's the way to go. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with over 3 million members. The easiest and most exciting way to play DFS is just you against the numbers. You pick more than or less than on 2 to 6 player stat projections and watch the winnings roll in. It's demon time. That's right. You're asking, what does that mean? It's demon time. I'll tell you. Demons and Goblins, the newest and most exciting way to play at Prize Picks. Squares marked with red demons or green goblins get you different payouts. You can now win up to 100 times your money with as little as 4 correct picks. That's insane. That's insane of Prize Picks to do. You know what else is insane? They offer injury insurance so that your entries stay in play even if one of your players gets injured. For football and basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, that player projection won't count against you and the rest of your entry stays alive. Prize Picks is the only DFS platform with an injury insurance policy. And by the way, they now offer Apple Pay for quick and easy deposits into your account this football, basketball, any season you're playing. Me personally, I'm taking more than points on Joel Embiid all the time. I'm taking more than assists on Tyrese Halliburton. I'm taking less than points on Jordan Poole. Those seem to be the easy money makers for you. And you're probably wondering, Zach, how do I get involved in this? You go to prizepicks.com/ding and use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. That's prizepicks.com/ding. Use code DING, D-I-N-G, for a first deposit match up to $100. Prize Picks, pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
That's just how I feel about it. Like, yeah. If I go into that depth of, like, explanation of, like, why, I ain't say just because. Like, I'm telling you why, and you're like, nah, but, like, what happened if, like, that shit's not going to happen, okay? So the fact that you want to, like, internalize this, that's a you thing. That's not a me thing. So, like, that's between you and your savior.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I would just, like, communicate it, though.
Yeah,
and you can do compromise and, like, you know, like, compromise, you know what I'm saying? But
yeah, I think communication is super important, even, like, when it comes to friendships. Because I've had friends kind of take it personal when I go a few days, or, you know, I go a minute without, like, reaching out. But I have to say, look, I got to take a moment to take care of myself, because if I don't, you're not going to get a pleasant person on the phone. Because I will say, though, I have had friends who, they'll give me a call, right? And I answer, and I'm answering to make sure it's not an emergency. Like, hey, everything okay? You good? Hey, let me call you back because I'm busy. And when they don't care that I'm saying, hey, I'm busy, and they continue to go on and have a full-on conversation and just continue to talk about why they called, I find that to be so disrespectful of other people's time. And absolutely. There's been a moment where I've had to call a friend out, like, hey, I mean, I told you I was, like, really tired. I'm like, you actually called and woke me up, but you decided to continue, like, going in. And they were just like, oh. And it's like, do people really not, like, people go unchecked on this? And yes. When you are the person to say something, you're, like, the bad guy. It's really a weird thing, which is why, like, God, like, I really hate that I have to answer the phone and be like, hey, is everything okay? Because I think they were talking about this on Bomb with Amin and Trey and Jerv, where they say that when the phone rings, they
get
anxiety. And it's like, you get anxiety because it's like, people don't really call. And if they call, it's like, yo, I'm gonna call you in like 30. And you already know what y'all gonna talk about or whatever.
I don't like that, man.
Bro,
I don't like that. Like, cause some things
I get anxiety.
I hate when people resort to text messages for everything. Some things is just way bigger than a text message. Now, if I hit you, like, cause I do this with you. If I call you, I'm like, are you busy? Mm-hmm. And you like, yo, hey, you know, sometimes I can get caught up. I'm like, yo, cut me off. Sometimes, you know what I mean? Like, I'm sorry. Like, I kind of like y'all long winded.
No, cause I do that for hours.
But I'm like, I always try to check and say, are you busy? But I hate when people be like, oh, Bink, I want to know your opinion on this. And you're like typing away. Call me. Like, I'm not about to be sitting up here doing all that shit. I don't care if you call me. But
everybody, like, they're not in the space to be able to have a conversation. Like, sometimes it's just easier. Look, a voice note works. Hit me with a quick voice note so I know what's up. And then like, yo, I'm going to call you in a little bit, but I'm busy right now. Like,
notifications for a phone call.
I need it because there are some people where it really could have been a text message. There are some people where you're like,
that,
oh, you could have literally texted me that.
My grandma's that way. like grandma, just send a text message. Like, I don't need all that. Yeah, my grandma's that way. I'm with you on that. For those little, that's what, but I'm just saying, for the things that are bigger than text message, if you are sending paragraphs, like, and we're actually going into an in-depth conversation, I am not about to be going back and forth with you via text message. Actually, it's probably going to stop, and I'm probably going to start ghosting. You're going to be like, oh my God, the conversation was so good. Like, you know what? My thumbs got tired. I got thumb fatigue. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's time for all this shit. Yeah, my thoughts are already sometimes discombobulated when I'm talking. Like, I'll be damned if I'm trying to type this shit out.
Sometimes I just give me a heads up of what we're going to talk about, because the way my anxiety is set up, sometimes I need a, because sometimes someone will text you, be like, yo, can you talk? or I need to talk to you about something real quick. And it's like, oh God, are they about to ask me for money? Or like, I just get so nervous. Okay, like, or did I do something? Or like, I'm just like nervous. Or did I forget? Or did I, like, so many things go running in my head.
My sister does that shit and I tell her that shit. She's like, hey, sissy. I'm like, what's up? And then she won't respond for a fucking hour. I'm like, yo, you can't do shit like that. Like, dog, like, just, why can't you just put the whole thing in the damn message? Like, why, hey, sissy, what, da, 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 da. Why is this cliffhanger? That's the reason why I don't like text message. I'm not a fan of it. I do not like it. But also, it's the thing of people asking for money. Look, everybody think I'm broke. Nobody fucking asked me for fucking money. I ain't got it. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's just like, I think it's because when sometimes I get phone calls and it's just bad news. So now I associate phone calls with bad news. Because usually if it's some good shit, somebody's going to send like something funny or a joke, or they're going to share the good news in a text real quick. There's very rare moments where someone calls me with great news. I'm going to just say it. And that's just why. So when I get a phone call, I'm like, oh God, is everything okay? You good?
Yeah, no. But my body language started changing. I'd be like, oh yeah, for real? For real? Look, I gotta go. Like, my whole body, I'm like, hey, what's going on? They'd be like, girl, for real? All right. Well, yeah, look, I gotta go. Like,
But not everybody takes those cues. They don't pick up on those cues.
Oh, no, they don't pick up on it. I just end the phone call. I gotta go. I'm ending the phone call. Like, fuck? I'm about to sit here and hear you. No, I'm not about to do that. But yeah.
Oh my God.
No, I think it's definitely important, you know. Just like quality time is important. Space, you know, is just as important.
It's important, and what's really important for me, like you said earlier, is having the opportunity to miss your partner, to miss your friend, to catch up, and it's like a huge moment when you guys reconnect and hang out. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I like that. It's not like, oh, well, they're back. You know, like, not saying that I feel that way about anybody, but it's sometimes you want, you know what, I take that back, because I have been in that situation before. So I was in a long distance relationship and I had the opportunity to miss him. And then when it came to the point where we were together every single day, it's just like, okay, like, whenever I wanted to like sleep in or, you know, go somewhere by myself, he would take it personally. Like, oh, you don't want to hang out with me? No, it's not that.
No, I don't.
Is that sometimes the way that I'm set up, I like doing things solo. I don't always have to be, I don't have to have outings with people. Like, I like to do things alone. I'm the type of person, I will go to the movies by myself. Yeah. I will take myself out to eat. I like to do things. So I used to go to the club by myself and have a great ass time.
Doing that.
Yes.
I used to love doing that. That right there used to be my shit.
Yes.
I would just go pull up. I knew I was going to know somebody there. No security, no bartender. Like,
somebody.
Didn't pay for shit. Didn't pay for nothing. Meet somebody there. Like, some homeboy, some homegirl, whatever. I love doing that. Know the DJ being there by myself. They like, the booth, you with, bitch? By
it's
myself.
You. Come on. Yeah, it's so easy to move that way, too.
It is.
But yeah, so also, I've been in that situation where I'm like, look, I just need to have a little bit of me time. And the way, like I said, the way that I have me time is different. But like, even people would be like, what? I could never go out to eat by myself. Like, you just sit at a table by yourself? Yes, nigga.
I've met some of the most dopest people doing shit like that. Like, I didn't, like, that wasn't my intent to meet people. But, like, I remember I would go to Mastro's and just be like, bitch, want a lobster and steak. And just literally go to the bar and just be sitting there, you know. And now I don't dress up because in these streets, they would look at me as an escort. So when I do stuff like this, I'm dressed down, you know, normally, and they be like, what are you doing here? And like, and it's just sparks up conversation, and I start having like some of the most dopest conversations ever, like just going to a sports bar. I have one of the most like crazy eccentric relationships I ever had. You know, I tell you this story all the time. It's when I met the drummer at ESPN Zone. I was sitting there by myself, and we just start,
Yeah, I feel like, you know, having space gives you a time to, like, reconnect with yourself, but also you just never know what happens when you're out and you're solo and you're just taking care of yourself. I feel like that energy is so good that sometimes you attract other people that's on the same wave and they're
on the same wavelength.
They see that you're comfortable being alone and they're, you know, like, they just like that.
And it's something about seeing someone comfortable being alone where you, like, it's like this confidence. And then Also, I like doing it because it blocks, like, to block out the noise. When you're constantly, like, in groups or with other people, like, it's like people are sometimes unaware how they project their energy. So it's like their anxieties, their worries, their concerns, or social media and stuff like that. Like, I have to block out the noise so I can see, like, Meek, how we doing? You know what I'm saying? Like, I have to do that. And having my space involves that. Yeah.
And see, I was just having this conversation because I was just telling my boyfriend, like, I haven't listened to music lately. I haven't really been inspired to, like, listen to anything new. I haven't been reading. I haven't been doing anything because you may not know this, but other people who work in, like, I guess in the podcast industry and or they are, like, music producers, they work in music, they always are listening to something, especially like with me, like editing. I hear voices all day.
All the time.
People share videos and stuff on social media. I'm just hearing people talk all day. So for me, I need to cut all the noise and actually listen to what's going on in this here body, in this here mind, and what's going on, and be in tune with myself, because all I do is hear other people talk.
Other people's,
all the time. It's so much. And sometimes I have to cut the noise. And cutting the noise is me being by myself. And my son, look, boo, I'll see you. Look, mommy needs an hour. Okay? Thank you. I will lock this door. I will put these headphones on and listen to rain. Listen to nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I just have to block everything out. But space is needed. And I think it takes like we were saying, like, you have to be comfortable to be able to do that sometimes. And a lot of people are really uncomfortable being with themselves. And they'll make up every excuse as to why they need to be around other people when a lot of the times they're just really uncomfortable being alone with themselves and in their own thoughts, because you learn a lot about yourself and it's not always pretty things that you learn about yourself. It's not
that part. And it's like, that's something I always preach is like, if you can't be with you, how can someone else be with you? But like going down to those pretty thoughts though, is that was another thing that I feel like space and shutting out the noise has helped me with, is like those negative thoughts. It's inevitable. That's how we're programmed. How we're set up. Like the negative thoughts are in there to like protect us, actually, you know? So, but when you can identify where it comes from, like, why am I thinking this? Why is this in constant rotation right now? Why am I feeling this way? And you start really having those internal conversations with yourself. When those thoughts come up, it's easy to manage. Like, Meek, you got a lot going on. You're overwhelmed. There's a lot going that's in the air right now. Nothing has settled. So now you have anxiety. That's the reason why, you know, and I talk to myself that way. Like, and sometimes I have to, when I shut out the noise, I talk to little Mimi, you know, little girl that's like, baby girl, you okay? You know, like, because sometimes I got to hear that voice in my head. Like, so it's like getting in tune with that stuff as well, like mental health. You know, I feel like shutting out the noise helps address and manage, you know, wellness and within mental health.
And when you don't, you're doing yourself a huge disservice. It's just like at some point, trying it's just to all avoid, gonna build up.
Man, avoidance is a huge thing. I think that like this generation is you know, really suffering from, like, because it's so much to distract you. It's so like, and there's so much instant gratification, like across the board, food, sex, socialize, like there's so many things to distract someone that it allows you to avoid, you know, things like, you know, a wellness check, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know, stuff like that. Like, And it, like you said, you are doing yourself a huge disfavor by partaking in that.
Yeah. So we actually have a red light special. if you guys have a question for the ladies of the Crazy Sexy Cool podcast, shoot us a DM at Crazy Sexy Cool Pod on Twitter, or send us an email at crazysexycoolpod@gmail.com, and we just may answer your question on our show. So today's question comes from JJ from Georgia, which I found this to be a really interesting question. Do the men you date or sleep with listen to the Crazy Sexy Cool podcast? If so, what do they think about the content? JJ, I honestly have no clue if my boyfriend listens or not. I've had exes say that they have tuned in and they find it very interesting. A lot of them listen or watch to see if I'm going to talk about them.
Yeah, I think that is the response I've been receiving, and I find it a bit peculiar because they always interested, like, did you talk about any stories about me? Any stories you talk about me? And I'm like, I remember one time I said no. And then I was like, damn, I probably shouldn't. I could have fluffed him a little bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah.
I don't know if they do. I talk about exes. Clearly, yeah,
I'm gonna give y'all a little in for those who tuning in on this, you know, special occasion episode. A lot of the stories I tell are about the same people. So it might sound like I'm talking about a plethora of fucking niggas, but a lot of these stories are about the same, like, you know, I ain't gonna give y'all no number, but let's just say I could count it on one hand. And like, so when I hear that, they be like, did you? I'm like, bro, if you have to ask, because some of my stories are very detailed, you have to ask if I talked about you.
Yeah.
Love it. It wasn't you, dog.
Yeah.
See you.
Yeah, I don't know if my boyfriend listens. We really don't. We don't really talk podcast topics.
I don't think I would want my man to listen, though. I mean, I do, but I don't. And then, you know, another thing I don't like is that because, and I ran into this, and this shit is fucking annoying, is that, like, people take this podcast. Now, granted, me on this podcast is 100% me. This is who
Absolutely.
I am.
Yeah.
But it's only a certain, this is only a small representation of who I am, my entire self. And so, like, a lot, like, this happened just recently where they were like, I know how you are.
Oh, do you?
I already know how you set up. I know what you thinking. Like, what? No, brother. No, Broham. No, you don't. Like, okay? You don't. You know? And so, like, you see, like, yeah, okay, you get the raunchy stories. You know I'm going to say what the fuck I want. But guess what? Also, I'm talking to my girlfriend. Okay? Me talking to my girlfriend is completely different from me engaging with a man.
Right.
It's completely different. So if you're looking at me talking to Bethany and Elizabeth and you think that I'm about to address you the same way, because some men be preparing themselves for the fires. Like, I just come in like set flames on a bitch. Like, I'm like, I'm not.
Like, coming like, who's ready to squirt? Let's get it. Like, no. Ah! Like.
Oh my god. You get a squirt.
Like, no. No.
No. No.
Nah, it's way more complex than that, baby.
Or like, I'm gonna come in just cussing people out.
Now, I will say, I do know that my boyfriend used to listen to it, but he hasn't brought anything up, so I'm gonna just say he probably hasn't listened to an episode in months. And I am great with that. That's fine. I don't need that type of support. That's fine. You know. But I feel like some people might want their partner to, because maybe they're like throwing little hints and little sub, what is it called?
Subliminals? Subs.
Yeah, little subliminals in whatever the topic matter is. No, I communicate like an adult and I say what I gotta say.
Yeah, I can say that what way. I gotta say. You gonna hear all of this. You gonna hear this. Shit.
Like, oh my God, you should listen to this episode because no.
Hell no.
So yeah. Before we sign off.
I was about to say, what episode should I listen to? And I'm like, bitch, I don't fucking know.
I get that a lot too. Shit. I'm like, look, it's 70+ episodes. Go figure it out.
Just stay away from the early ones. Like, those bitches are raw. My gosh. It's just raw. Real rap raw, okay?
Ooh, so wild. And this is probably going to make people want to go back, but oh my God, I cringe.
But you can talk about like secondhand, like not even secondhand, because it was me. So it was first hand embarrassment.
Yeah.
And I used to get slizzard on this bitch.
Oh, we used to be
my dragon. My words be all like, feel better. Like, oh
yeah, by the end of the episode, we like, oh shit, that was so much fun.
you like, subscribe on all the.
I couldn't reach for shit. I couldn't read worth a damn by the end of the episode. I'm just like, you know what, fuck it. Y'all know what I mean. Y'all know what I'm trying to say. Before we go, Meek, do you have a quote for us this week?
Got MILF.
Hey, look at that shirt. Ooh. Got MILF. Especially those who listened to our last episode where we shared our stories. Look, black women, black mothers, we are putting up with a lot, dealing with a lot in big pharma and the medical. It's just a lot going on with racism in every aspect of our lives, from being a parent, raising black children, and trying to make sure our kids are getting a good education, and it's just so much. But yes, got MILF, because we're doing it, we're holding it down, and I think we look really good while we're doing it.
So, yeah. I look damn good while I'm doing it. People are in disbelief, and I love that. I love it. Like, have conversations with people, and they be like, with all this wrapped up in this, yes, honey. Yeah.
Don't you like being like, damn, you a mom too? Like, that's so dope. I know your child is like, yep, my child is blessed. Yep, so is. All right, y'all. So until next week, we should have Elizabeth back unless she's booked and busy being a booked and busy bad bitch again. So next week, we out. Make sure you subscribe to our Patreon.
Peace.